Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's lift our voice and say hallelujah to the Lord. Oh, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. I thank and praise God for this opportunity. I thank Pastor for the chance he's given me to share the word of God. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to stand in this presence. Hallelujah. Today's topic is a very serious topic. It is a fun topic. It is a fear of God. Hallelujah. The title of the message is Fear of God. What is fear? When you hear fear, what do you feel? Like fear, is it a good emotion or a unpleasant emotion for the kids? Do you love fear? No. What is the meaning of fear is? A fear is an unpleasant emotion, a thought that you have when you are frightened or worried by something dangerous, painful or bad that is happening, right? It's an emotion that comes when there is a reactive to a negative circumstance, right? You think something bad is going to happen. That's fear. There is an extreme fear. They call it in this world, they call it phobia, right? How many of you heard the word phobia? Phobia is an extreme fear. It's called irrational fear. People call it different names. Let's see how many of you know the meaning of these phobias. Acrophobia. Somebody say that? Fear of heights. Yes. Aerophobia. Fear of flying. Arachnophobia. Fear of spiders. That's good. Hemophobia. Fear of blood. Hydrophobia. Fear of? How many of you are fearful of water? I know my daughter is fearful of water. Yeah. Right? I came to know a new phobia that I came to understand 2 weeks ago. I think last week, I was in a class and then they asked this question, what is pantherophobia? How many of you heard of that word? Pantherophobia. Sorry? Yeah, but it's pantherophobia. Pantherophobia. It's fear of mother-in-law. Right? So how many of you have that fear? Fear of mother-in-law. So fear is always associated with negative emotion, right? You get scared. Three, four weeks ago, I was in my office and I was talking and drinking water. So what happens when you talk and drink water? You choke. I choked. And people around me was like, don't know what to do, right? CPR, they don't know what to do. Everybody is like, the hemlock maneuver, right? They couldn't do. Nobody knew. He said, I learned this, but I don't know what to do. But few seconds later, I was okay, right? But then, after that experience, every day after that, I've started having a fear of drinking water, right? Every time I drink water, I felt like I'm going to choke. So it happened. I was having this fear. My wife can testify. Like I couldn't even eat. Like for 3-4 days, I couldn't eat. I was like fear of choking. Right? It took me 3-4 weeks to really come out of it. So fear, it comes out of a negative experience. So is fear of God a negative emotion? So that's the question this morning. Is fear of God a negative emotion? The wisest man ever lived on the face of the earth, who was it? King Solomon, right? King Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, he said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Luke chapter 12, verse 4 to 5, our Lord Jesus gives us a reason why we should fear God. Why should we fear God? Luke chapter 12 verse 4 to 5 says, dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I'll tell you whom to fear. Fear God, who has the power to kill you and then throw you into hell. Yes, he's the one to fear. So the Bible says you need to fear God for two reasons. One, it gives you wisdom. It gives you the beginning of wisdom. And also it tells you, Bible, Jesus said that if you fear, don't fear anybody, but fear God, because he has the power to not only kill you in this earth, but also he has the power to throw you into hell. Think about it, right? So does it give you an emotion, a love towards God? Does it make you attractive, this fear? No, it does not, right? So what is the meaning of fear? So I want to explain it through a story of Job, right? Who is Job? A lot of people say Job comes before every praise, right? Job is before Sam's. So if you get a job, you start praising, right? So that's not what the story is about. So the story of Job, there was a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. So this is the story of a man named Job who was a blameless man. He feared God. He was a God-fearing man. And he stayed away from evil. But he went through a few tests. One day, in the heavenlies, the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He's the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And you know what Satan replied? "Yes, there's a reason for why he is fearing you. Because you have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You made him prosper. You made him rich. Of course he'll be faithful to you. He'll be fearing you. Because you have given him all the blessings." So what God said, okay, go ahead. Touch his blessings. See what happens. So one day, in a single day, a calamity strike. All his livestock, all his possessions get destroyed. His children also gets killed the house gets struck and it falls on the children and they die. So when this news comes to Job, what does Job do? Job tears his clothes in grief, shaves his head, falls to the ground to worship, and he says, "I came naked from my mother's womb and I will be naked when I leave. The Lord gave me what I had and the Lord has taken it away. Praise the name of the Lord." So what did Job do? Job started praising God. He said, "God gave this and God took it away. Praise be to the name of the Lord." So Job did not sin even when he lost all his blessings. So now he goes through a second test. Again, there's a discussion in the heavenlies between God and Satan. And God says, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil, and he has maintained this integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause." And Satan replied, "Skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take his health away, and he will surely curse you to your face." So God said, "Okay, go ahead. You can touch his health, but spare his life." So Satan left the presence of God and he struck Job with terrible boils from his head to his foot. So Job scraped his skin with a piece of pottery, broken pottery, as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job said, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God? Never anything bad." So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. So we have a person here who went through two terrible calamities. One, he loses all his blessings. Second, he loses his health. So he's almost hanging for his life. He's almost in his deathbed, right? So now his 3 friends, they hear about this news. The 3 friends, their name were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. So they hear this news, what happened to Job, and they come to see him. When they see Job from far away, they couldn't even recognize him because he was completely struck with boils. Nobody knew who he was. So looking at him, they wailed loudly and they tore their robes and threw dust into the air and they showed their grief. The Bible says for 7 days and 7 nights, they didn't say a single word to Job, right? So they came to see Job, to comfort him and console him, but they couldn't even say any word to him because he was in such suffering, right? So then in the book of the life of the book of Job talks about the discussions, the dialogues between Job and his friends, right? So they're trying to make sense of his whole situation. So after 7 days and seven nights, Job comes, starts making his statements. He says, why? He starts cursing the day he was born, right? He says, why should I be born to see all this? Why should a person be born in this world when he is going to do, or when he's going to get all these sufferings, right? A lot of people ask this question. Why should I be born in this world when I know there's going to be suffering in this world? A lot of young people are suffering that emotionally, right? Why should I be born? Right? There's a big discussion on abortion on this topic, right? So if there's a baby is a terminally ill, why should he be born? Right? There's a lot of things going on around this. So people think that they can control what happens in their life. And so Job was, he's in a dilemma. He was thinking, why did my mother give birth to me? So he started cursing the day he was born. Why is life given to those with no future, those God has surrounded with difficulty? Why should a man have future? Why should a woman have future in this world if there is going to be suffering, if there is no hope? So then Eliphaz, his friend, responds to him, my experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. And he says, maybe you have done something wrong, right? You might have sinned secretly. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. So his friends started to tell him, trying to convince him that there is something wrong with you. You might have sinned. There's no way God would punish a man who's blameless or integrity. So Bildad, another friend of him, he says, your children must have sinned against him. So their punishment was well deserved. But if you pray to God and seek the favor of the Lord, he will restore you. So each one of his friends started trying to find fault in Job. Zophar says, listen, God is punishing you far less than you deserve. That means you are such a sinner, but God given you very little punishment. So be thankful to God, he was saying. So but Job did not listen to any of these friends' comments. So he makes, if you listen to the statements that Job makes, you see his emotions, right, that goes through. He says, what I always dreaded has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. So, and he says, what I feared came true, right? He had a fear one day that something will happen to his life, and that exactly what happened. And he says, don't I have a right to complain? Don't wild donkeys bray when they find no grass, and oxen bellow when they find no food? Don't people complain about unsalted food? Don't we complain? Right? If there's no salt in our food, don't we complain? And Job says, I have a complaint with God. Something happened to me. Why? I don't know the reason for it. So he's trying to understand, where did I go wrong? He knew that this is a punishment from God. That he was very sure about it. But he was confused. He didn't know. He was trying to argue with God, right? Trying to find out what caused this problem, right? And you read the chapter still 30, the chapter 37, you have this dialogue going back and forth until you don't hear the voice of God. God does not speak to Job until then. So if you read chapter 38, that's when God from a whirlwind starts speaking to Job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have a God who speaks. Amen. So what does God tell Job? So if you look at those chapters of chapter 38, 39, and 40, if you see God challenges Job with questions, God does not respond to Job to what he was asking for, right? God is asking a totally different type of question. So let me paraphrase some of those questions that God asked Job. Do you know how I created the earth? Were you there when I created the earth? Where were you when I created the heavens, the stars, the seas? Have you explored the springs, the depths, the gates of death? What is the source of light, the home of the wind, the path of lightning? Who is the father of rain? Who is the mother of ice? Can you direct the movement of stars, the constellation? Do you know the laws of the universe? Who provides food for the animals? Can you domesticate the wild animals like the Leviathan and Behemoth? I think these were like historic animals, like very huge animals, ferocious animals. And God says, do you know how to control them? Can it work for you? Can you domesticate it and make it work for you? And what was Job's response? Job's response was, I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. We will discuss why he responded to that. Why he responded this way. We'll discuss that a little more deeper later. And after that statement, God restores Job's health and blesses him twice as much as before. He died an old man with having lived a long and full life, right? So why? What do we learn from the story of Job, right? Job believed that if he lived a blameless and God-fearing life, he will receive favor in the eyes of God and be blessed in everything he does. So he had a belief in his time. I think a lot of Christians also have this belief. They say, if I follow certain rules, if I come to church, if I attend certain things, if I do these things, if I tithe monthly, if I do all these things, I will get some favor from God. I will receive some favor in the eyes of God and be blessed in everything he does. This is the same thing every religion talks about. They say, like, if you do these rules and regulations, you're going to get some blessings. So when he saw that all his blessings were taken away and his life was in the balance, he could not find out the reason for his trouble. That's what Job was struggling with. He don't know what happened. He became hopeless and defenseless. His understanding of the fear of God was completely wrong. So that's where Job misunderstood God. He thought that if I did things right, if I lived a blameless life, you know how he if he was always fearful his children might sin, and he was used to give burnt offering. So he was very careful. He was in his life, every transaction, everything he does, he was very, very careful. Even though he was careful, at the end of the day, he received. When things went wrong, he couldn't find a reason. He started cursing the day of his birth and everything, because he thought this could never happen to him. Right? He did not expect the innocent and the righteous to receive suffering. His friends who also like-minded, his friends were also of the same mindset as Job. So instead of consoling and encouraging him, they were trying to convince him that he might have sinned. So they asked him to repent of his sin so God can restore him. But Job did not accept that argument. But he was confident that he was innocent and he needed an answer from God for these sufferings. When God finally spoke, he did not answer Job's question. Instead, God started asking questions that Job could not answer, right? So why did God respond to Job with questions? This is where it becomes interesting. What was God trying to teach Job through these tests? Our God is an almighty God, right? He's an all-powerful God. But do you know that he loves you? He cares for you? We cannot limit God to a set of rules and regulations to obey. God, who created everything, knows everything about you. Without his knowledge, nothing happens in your life. Hallelujah. You are sitting here because God loves you. Hallelujah. You have a job because God loves you. Hallelujah. You are living in this earth because God has put you here because God loves you. Hallelujah. Let's think about it. Let's not think about what I can do to please God. Think about what God has done for you this morning. He loves us so much that even he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and me. He purchased us with this son's blood. So we now belong to God. Just think about it. When we were doomed. We were going to hell. And this God, who could have given up on us, loved us so much. He gave his only begotten son. So when we believe in him, he's saving us from going to hell. Hallelujah. We were lost in our sin, but he chose us and opened our eyes to this good news. We were living in far away, in distant land. And God has brought us here in this place. Hallelujah. have given us this freedom to come and gather and worship this true God. Hallelujah. When we start understanding this love of God, everything we hold dear becomes nothing, and we follow Jesus and obey his word. Hallelujah. This is fear of God. Hallelujah. So let me explain to you, define what is fear of God. Fear of God is not a response to get favor from God by following a set of rules. Rather, fear of God is a reciprocal response when we understand God's love. When God spoke to Job, he was saying, do you know how I made all these things? Do you know how those things? I care for each one of that. When I created this earth, I did it perfectly so that I can put you on this earth. When I created an animal, I knew his strength, I know his weakness, and I gave him what he needs, and I put him over there. When I created this universe, I put it in the right place so now you can survive. Even the stars don't come and hit you. I have created everything in its perfect place and put you in this place. Hallelujah. So this God who has knowledge of everything, hallelujah, can do anything in your life. And this is what Job responded. Now I know that you can do anything. Hallelujah. This God can solve all your problems. This God, when you come to him, he loves you, he cares for you, that he is willing to restore you. Hallelujah. And that's what God did to Job. No matter what our circumstances this morning, you come to God with that longing. Oh God, you are the source of my solution. Hallelujah. You are the God who can solve my problems. Hallelujah. Because you are the God of love. Hallelujah. And compassion. That's why Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We sang this morning. Oh, God is good. How many have really understood that word? This is explained in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 to 21. Can you put it up on the slide? 1 John chapter 4, verse 15 to 21. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us that we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. So there's no fear anymore. This God who can put us into hell has removed this fear from us because we have tasted his love, because with his love he has rescued us. So there's no fear anymore of our future. And we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Verse 18, such love has no fear. Hallelujah, fear of God doesn't create fear in you. It creates a love towards God. Hallelujah. Because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We need to experience God's love this morning. If you are struggling in your faith this morning because you have lost your first love, right? We need to go back to the basic now. Do you know God loves you so much? We love each other because he loved us first. Verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God, whom we cannot see? For he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers, right? Hallelujah. Just think about it. Just think about this statement once more. If we'll say we love God, do we love our fellow believers? Hallelujah. 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 This is a message this morning to the young people here and for everyone and for everyone else. Fear of God is not a fear that creates a negative emotion. It creates a positive emotion. An emotion that our God will provide all my needs. Hallelujah. It creates an emotion that this God who has done so much for me, how can I stay away from him? How can I not stop praising him? Oh, for what he has done for me on the cross of Calvary, how can I not stop praising him? Hallelujah. This is what Jesus said. If you don't praise, the stones will praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have you understood this love of God this morning? Hallelujah. Dear young people, learn to understand and experience the love of God. Then you will know how you can live this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How to overcome every obstacle that comes in our life. He removes all of your fears and gives you confidence to move forward. Come to God this morning. Learn about Jesus this morning. Understand who he is. Hallelujah. 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 Can we say this morning that our God is good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sang this morning, we can say this word, this song again. We can sing this again with a meaningful heart. Our God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Is so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. May the Lord bless you with these words. Hallelujah.